I've got a more esoteric and probably impossible to answer question for you. But that's, you know, it's, it sort of goes along with trees and your force. And that. So anyhow, the project was first proposed, and this is just sort of what I was, you know, why I'm not that rabid about it, which allows me to moderate this meeting. But so when the project was first proposed, they were talking about maybe 2015, and now it's like at least a couple of years past that, and it seems like it's going to be really late, and it also looks like there's very slim chances, given the work of the Forest Society and others, that the corridor through the North Country is going to be practical. So what advice do you have for people at the southern end of the proposed project, like Deerfield, you know, so that what can you do if you're a concerned citizen of Deerfield, so that, you know, you don't fall asleep, and if the project gets put off for 4 years and it's never going to really happen anyhow, but we live with a huge substation and a ton of corridors through the town. So what should the town of Deerfield be thinking about in case this emergency, you know, goes away and the cost of gas goes up another $2 and we get distracted?
All right, I'll take a crack at that. I think on one level, it's important as a community to put aside the process, the fact that the state has a certain amount of authority over local communities, that the process, the permitting process for a project like this is often doesn't afford local communities all of the input that they'd like to have. I'd put that aside and try to decide what you want your community to look like. And try to decide what you most want Deerfield to be. And try to articulate that in a positive way. And that can be done any number of ways, whether it's through your master plan or through an article in the warrant or what have you. There's any number of ways that you can say what you want for Deerfield. And then you can later on determine what process you can use in order to try to affect that outcome. But first decide what you want. Do you want 135-foot towers or do you not? Do you want the unknown tax benefits of substations and so forth or not? What are you willing to put up with and what are you willing not to put up with? Try to come to grips with some of those answers. And that will help you then go forward as in a united way to try to affect that outcome and to make your own opinions known and to pull together with other communities who might share your values. I mean, that's what this is really about. It's about values. What are our values in New Hampshire? Are values tied to our natural landscape, our natural beauty, the tourism it draws, the forest products industry? Or are they tied to being a pass-through to power in southern New England? What do we care about? Articulate what you care about, and then we'll figure out the process to make sure that you have an opportunity to make that happen.
Just to add one comment to that answer, you should not be at all confident that this is not happening. So you can read about HB 648. You can read about natural gas prices. You can hear some of us speculate that maybe the deal isn't economic for Hydro-Québec anymore. Let me just toss out three facts. Hydro-Québec's, in their 2011 annual report, disclosed their average cost of production of hydropower as 2.11 cents, 2.11 cents. It's very low, and it's a huge advantage for them economically. And so to say that they're worried about natural gas prices, well, of course they are. But prices go up, prices go down, and unless we have a really unusual period, these people will continue to invest. They have a huge cost advantage, and they'll want to come at us one way or another. Fact number one. Fact number two, HB 648 that's been mentioned here. So we've told you that you're safe from eminent domain. That's not my view. My view is you are absolutely not safe from eminent domain. The reason why you're not safe from eminent domain is because HB 648, which was a remarkable achievement, you got the whole state to stand up for you for property rights, it's not complete. So there are ways around it, and I would bet a big part of our farm that Hydro-Québec and Northern Pass are already using those ways around it. There are two ways around it. They can go and they can recast their project in a different form. They can say that their project is needed to bring renewables power to New England to satisfy policy goals. Or they can say their project is needed for purposes of keeping the economics of the power market in sync, keeping power prices low. Either of those bases is enough for the regional regulator to say it's a needed project, and then we're right back to eminent domain. So don't for a second say we're safe from eminent domain. You're safe until they announce a new form for the transaction, and I believe that is likely to happen. The final point is, even if you were safe from eminent domain as a legal matter, there's something that these people are very good at. A person that we work with named it eminent domain by extortion. So I come to you and I say, I need to have another 100 feet of your right-of-way. You say, ha, you can't use eminent domain, go take a hike. They say, okay, that's how you feel? Well, that means the tower will have to be 200 feet high in front of your house, not 130 feet high. Want to talk? And you'll probably want to talk. They can always, if they succeed and they win against the Forest Society and they have the right to use this right-of-way, that's a property right. They'll threaten you with higher towers, more invasive structures, whatever they need to get your land. So please don't rest easy. Do all the things Jack is saying you should do and be happy with all the progress made, but do not believe the war has been won. It has not in any sense been won.
If I could, I'll just throw out one more, perhaps more, even more practical suggestion is, while the governor doesn't have a direct role in this, the governor does appoint key people who end up being members of the Public Utilities Commission and the SEC and so forth. And we're going to have a new governor come next January. And so to the extent that this issue matters to you, you should find a candidate who shares your views on this issue at the gubernatorial level. Same thing within the House of Representatives races and the Senate races and so forth. Those people have the, as we've seen with House Bill 648, those elected representatives have the ability to affect the outcome of this, and you should elect people who share your values to go to Concord.